You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
With this strong and decisive legislation, we will help restart the flow of credit so American families can meet their daily needs and American businesses can make purchases, ship goods, and meet their payrolls.
Good morning, everyone. With a deal apparently in his back pocket, the president spoke to the nation 20 minutes ago outside of the White House. House Republicans and Democrats have come together on a $700 billion bailout proposal, or at least some number will be debated on today in the House and voted on in the House. The Senate will take up the measure before the end of the week, perhaps as early as Wednesday. Markets are reacting negatively this morning. More about that in a moment from New York Times reporter Floyd Norris, who joins us on the phone from his office here in New York. But we begin with Todd Zwillick, who's a reporter for Capital News Connection, on the line from Washington, D.C. Todd, with Bush apparently having achieved consensus on the Hill with Democrats and even some House Republicans who were stalling and demanding things in this package, can we say that there is a bipartisan movement to actually make this happen before the end of the week?
Yes. There will be bipartisan votes for, and there will be bipartisan votes against. The interesting thing about this is that it hasn't really cut along party lines, not at all. Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic whip team is relying on a significant amount of Republican support today. It's unclear how much they'll get. I think most of us expect somewhere between 70 and 90 Republican votes to help out the Democrats and help out the White House on this. It'll be interesting to see tomorrow if we were actually right with that prognostication. Bipartisan for and against, really. But consensus is a tough word on this one, because there will be well over 100 votes against it in the House.
Okay, Todd, give us the basics here. What do Democrats get out of this plan, and what do the Republicans who are supporting it get out of this plan?
Politically, you mean?
Correct.
It's really hard to see what anyone really gets out of it politically.
Democrats, for example, were insisting on some level of oversight. They got that, right?
Oh, I see. Oh, you mean in terms of the policy in the bill? Yes. Well, yes, Democrats did get some oversight. Democrats were insistent from the beginning of having some form of caps on executive compensation for companies that apply for these, for bailouts, or at least to have some of their equity taken over by the government. There will be GAO reports and reporting from the executive back to Congress in the years to come. That's all in the bill, and Democrats managed to get that. And Democrats managed to get equity stake for taxpayers in companies that have shares that are bought out, so that not only do taxpayers get money back sooner and are first in line, but if there are losses, they don't just take naked losses. They actually can own equity stake in companies, so that if it goes up later on, the taxpayers own shares. Democrats got all that stuff. And there were Republicans who wanted those things too. Again, it hasn't cut completely along party lines. But then when you take the House Republicans, the ones who really raised red flags about this and held up the deal last week, what they got essentially was this insurance piece that allows the Treasury Secretary to start an insurance program for the buying of some of these shares, so that it's not direct purchase from the taxpayers.
But Todd, that's an optional measure. It's not something that is required, and it doesn't actually involve any money put forth. I mean, explain to me, though. Senator Gregg yesterday said that the downside of not doing this is that it's such a gigantic catastrophe we can't even think about it. What is the fear on the part of legislators who are afraid not to vote for this? What is their thinking?
Well, I think that many of them have a fear of things going horribly wrong, catastrophically wrong in the economy. That just a priori, they don't want that to happen. Secondarily, they don't want to be responsible for it if it does happen. They think about that too.
Well, the economy isn't winning any awards right now for growth or chugging along or not causing pain to Americans all over this country. Hold on there for just a second, Todd. Yeah. Floyd Norris, the markets are reacting pretty negatively to this so far this morning. It's hard to tell, but what do you make of that?
Well, the markets around the world are reacting. There were bailouts this weekend in Europe, another one this morning in Iceland. We're seeing the financial system in most of the Western world creaking. And I don't think you can blame everything that's going on in the markets today on the American developments at all.
Is that to say that this plan is not equal to the task of actually addressing these issues described?
It's certainly not to say that. We'll find that out later. The government has consistently underestimated the power of this credit crunch. And they're finally reacting to it, and that, in a sense, is very good. We'll find out how effective this is. People are scared, and we build up a financial system, a shadow financial system that relied upon securitization and strange derivatives, and that system has come to a halt. And without it, it's very hard to get credit into this country. The banks who used to do it are not up to the task right now. And, of course, we're busy bailing out banks. It appears now that Citigroup will get Wachovia. They were in a bidding war over the weekend with Wells Fargo for Wachovia. But it's a curious bidding war. It appears that Wachovia stock, which ended last week around $9, I think, is going to come tumbling down. It's a bidding war where the shareholders are not doing well at all.
And who knows, maybe we could buy Wells Fargo, you and me, Floyd. Huh?
Don't forget me.
Wells Fargo is relatively healthy. But it's Wachovia that perhaps we could get together on.
Yeah, right, that's the one that's going to be the bargain basement. Well, how do we begin to see credit unfreezing in the United States? For instance, is a retailer like Sears going to get the credit it needs to fill inventory for the holiday season? Or are they going to miss that by a few weeks? I mean, who's in a real sort of squeeze at this moment?
I don't know of specific cases. The people who are in squeezes are certainly real estate developers are in a horrible squeeze. They're having all their loans pulled for obvious reasons, if the banks can do so. What we're going to see, the holiday season, it doesn't look like stores want to order that much inventory. The consensus is this is going to be a really slow holiday season.
Well, Todd Zwillick, I mean, they're going to be thinking holiday season when members of Congress go home. Any sense of how the reaction is going? I mean, are phones ringing off the hook in members' offices? Are they going to be getting lectured to by their constituents as this vote comes to a head?
I don't know. You know, members, the way members described their phone calls last week sort of seemed to track with their own attitudes about the bill. I mean, if a member was inclined to be against it sort of viscerally, they would say, my calls are 10,000 to one against. And if a member seemed to sort of have a more open mind about it, they would say, well, most are against it. You know, it's very hard. You know, I'm sure that they interpret their calls according to how they're feeling about the bill in the first place. And then, you know, we don't know exactly how people will react. I was reading some polling information this morning suggesting that public sentiment against the plan may not be as strong quite as it's being reported in the press outlets, that yes, it's generally against, but not viscerally against. So it's possible in many districts people might give their member a pass. We realize it's a bad vote. You didn't want to take the vote, but you had to, because once the president and the secretary of the treasury says things are melting down if you don't vote for it, well, you're kind of in a box. They may not hold their member completely responsible for being spendthrift and anti-capitalism. I think it depends on the district. It depends on the member. And there's really no way to predict.
And the extent of the credit freeze varies from district to district, just as the extent of the impact on sort of traders and banks varies from country to country. Wall Street is making one kind of a crapshoot with this, and Congress is making another. I'll give you the last word, Floyd. What should we look for in the next couple of hours?
What's going to be interesting, we're seeing a rally in the stock index futures this morning. The Dow futures were down 200 a little earlier. And since the president spoke, they've moved up rather nicely. They're now down about 127. Now, whether that reflects a continuing trend, you know, call me in a couple hours and I'll tell you.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Todd Zwillick, a reporter for Capital News Connection, and Floyd Norris from the New York Times, joining us from Washington, D.C. and New York, respectively. Lots to watch on the stock market this morning as Wall Street and world markets react to the bailout plan that Congress will get to react to this morning in the House and then later on this week in the Senate.
Lawmakers certainly have a lot on their plate. Not only the elections coming up in a couple of weeks, and now they got to go home and explain this bailout plan to their constituents. Interesting.
Explain their vote.
Explain their vote and the bail plan.